Can you listen to the Wednesday afternoon show on Vectis Radio on FM 104.6 and online with me, John Hacker? And for this last hour in our older and wiser slot, we've got the lovely Jan Brooks.
Hello.
Hello. Who's going to be talking to us about aisle access. Now, Jan, as I said to you earlier, I know nothing at all about aisle access. I've never, even to my shame, heard of aisle access. So what actually is aisle access?
Okay, aisle access is a local charity. We've been a charity for about 18 months now. We started off as a CIC, a community interest company, but we changed to be a charity last May. And we've been set up to try and encourage and promote greater accessibility and inclusion for people on the Isle of Wight.
Right. And what is it you actually do? Inclusion in what?
It's inclusion, access and inclusion to all sorts of things. And we're not just talking, although we work mainly with disabled people, we recognise that the barriers that disabled people face are often the same as other people in society face. So, for instance, people with prams and pushchairs often find difficulty in accessing places as somebody who uses a wheelchair. And so what we try and do is highlight to people what the barriers are and try and either remove the barriers or find a way around those barriers so that people can get out and they can have access things that you know they want to be able to do.
Yeah, so we're talking basically physical access then.
Physical access, but also we're well aware of people with vision loss, hearing loss, and people who need a calmer environment and things like that. So we look at a whole range of access needs.
Okay, so does that mean that people come to you and say, you know, I'd like to visit place X or place X, Y, but actually it's impossible for me to do it, what can you do to help, kind of thing?
Yeah, we can do, although we try and we work very positively with businesses. So we find businesses that when we talk to them and we explain that if they actually improved access, they can actually probably get improve their profits, because the more people that come and use their business,
true enough,
they're going to make more money as well. And so those people that actively want say to us, oh yeah, it's, you know, I'm really interested, you know, what can you come and show me, come and look at our business and show us what we can do to make things more accessible, and that's, they're the people that we help.
Yeah, so is it mainly businesses that you that approach you for help then, or do you go out to businesses and
both if we find somewhere? I'm always embarrassing my daughter in particular if we're out somewhere.
I know what you're going to say. Yeah.
and I'll find somewhere, and I tried and but you know, sort of, have you considered things?
I have a wife just like you. Not in the same context, but she's gluten free.
Right,
she's gluten intolerant everywhere she goes. Yeah. You know, you walk into a cafe or a restaurant, if they haven't got gluten free, she's sort of, have you thought about?
Yeah.
So I'm very familiar with that.
Is, I'm insuring myself for sort of preparing things for when I need more access as well. Yeah, I've got a vested interest, I suppose. But we help businesses, but also individuals come to us for help as well.
Right, so how would they get in touch, and what sort of things could you help them with?
If they're having a particular difficulty, we were approached recently by somebody who had only recently started using a wheelchair and was finding things a bit difficult. So one of our trustees who also uses a wheelchair met with the person and had a talk to them, showed them some, how to navigate certain areas and that, and, you know, what worked for them. And so giving people a bit more confidence like that.
Yeah, it must be really tricky, actually, because if, through an accident or something, you suddenly find yourself in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
It can't be an easy adjustment by any means, can it?
No. No, it's, most people, it's a lot of people, it's just a gradual sort of decline. Yeah. And I think as we get older, we all appreciate that sort of thing.
That's true.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Why are these steps so steep? By golly, why haven't you got a lift?
Yeah. And It's a mixture of people who, suddenly find themselves in a situation, or they've, it's been a gradual decline into something. But I also have a lot of emails and telephone calls from visitors wanting me to recommend places.
Oh, okay.
So they tell me, what the their access issues are. They've usually got somebody who's autistic, or somebody who uses a wheelchair. So where can we stay?
Mm.
Where can we stay? Where can we go and eat? Restaurants and that.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I give a lot of advice.
Yeah, it's something that most of us don't think about most of the time, isn't it, really? You know, we carry on with our little lives and everything's rosy and fine, and we might have a little complaint, but it's not the same as having a really big issue like that to sort of deal with.
Yeah, and when it stops families enjoying themselves together.
Yeah.
And we have issues on the island locally. For instance, there's no accessible beach. There's not one beach that somebody who's using a regular wheelchair can get onto, because as soon as they get onto the soft sand, the wheelchair sinks.
Yeah. Well, perhaps we can talk about that a bit more in a sec. We've got to go into a quick break now, but you've opened my eyes, actually, because it's not the sort of issue you really kind of think about unless it's forced down your throat, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks, Jim. We'll talk again after the break.
Thank you.
Wednesday afternoon show with John Hacker, and I'm joined by the lovely Jan Brooks this afternoon, talking to us about aisle access. And before the break, we were talking about beach access, which I confess is something I never really thought about before. And then it struck me, how can you create access to a sandy old beach?
Yeah, well,
how do you do it?
It is a problem. One of our trustees, John, who uses a wheelchair, he's got a family, three young boys, and when they go to the beach, he has to sit on the concrete walkway above the beach whilst his family are on the beach, and his wife has to keep running between the children and John to make sure everybody's okay. And it's they want to spend some time together, and if you walk along some of the these beaches, you quite often see people just sitting there in their wheelchairs or scooters watching people on the beach instead of actually being able to enjoy that family time together. So what we're trying to do is to get one or two beaches on the island accessible. So what we're asking for is some sort of hard surface that can go down over the soft sand and across the soft sand as well. So people can get onto the beach and go and sit and enjoy time with their families. And it's not just people in wheelchairs that are affected. It's people using walking aids, people using crutches, and also young families with prams and pushchairs. It's really hard, getting the pushchair along through the soft sand.
It is, yeah.
So it would benefit a lot of people. And then we would also like to have a changing places toilet nearby, so people with more complex needs can be changed and use those facilities. And wheelchair hire, beach wheelchair hire, so we can get people out and into the water.
Oh, right. So you're only getting support in that hire, or...?
I'm working.
You're working on it.
I'm not going to mention names I'm working on it.
Well, come on, folks, we're a big enough island, it's better to just do something like that. Surely.
And the thing is, we're behind everybody else. Other resorts on the mainland. Other resorts on the mainland have got accessible. Not every resort.
No, but
a lot of resorts have, and therefore, we're missing out on a huge element of people that won't come over to the island because we don't have accessible beaches.
Well, it would pay off all round, really. It can't be that difficult. It's kind of like a big slipway, really, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. There is, I mean, to be fair, it is a bit difficult in the sense that we're very tidal. So if it's anything that's not a structure that's safe down like a concrete slipway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It can get washed away with the tide and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got to look at ways around that issue. Yeah. But we're working on it.
Well, fingers crossed for that.
Thank you.
You've got a bicycle project as well.
Yes, we were recently. Well, we were awarded at the end of last year, actually, £16,000 by the Island Roads Foundation.
Brilliant.
And another £2,160 from White Aid to buy some adapted bikes. So we've bought a whole fleet of different types of adapted bikes, and they arrived at the beginning of August, most of them. We've got one or two that are coming at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're able to offer sessions of accessible cycling to people.
Oh, okay.
So we're in the process of now devising a project around that, about different sessions, who we're going to target for get different people out enjoying an outside exercise.
They're going to be sort of like predetermined routes sort of thing, or is it?
They're mainly going to be in a more contained area.
Yeah.
So for people who are not risk aware or have got poor cognitive skills, they're in a safe area. But we do like Seaclose Park, the netball courts because then when we do get people along who are able to and safe to ride out, they've got Seaclose to ride, ride out their bikes in, ride the bike in. So we're developing that project.
And when's that likely to happen?
It's going to be happening certainly by the beginning of next year, if not earlier on.
Yeah.
As soon as we've got some transport to move the bikes.
Can I ask what form the bikes take? Because I'm just curious, really.
3 and 4 wheel bikes. Mm. So they're very safe, they're very stable.
Yeah.
And we've already had people try them, never ridden a bike before. Adults 60 plus, never been able to ride a bike, and they get on the bike and they can ride it.
Oh, fantastic.
So, it's great. We have borrowed bikes from the mainland.
Mm.
We had 3 sessions with those bikes. The first session we had, a young lady came along, and I could tell from her wheelchair that she was quite a confident person in a wheelchair. It was a sporty type, low back, lightweight wheelchair.
Yeah.
And she got on to use the hand bike. And as she got on, she started screaming, "This is amazing. I'm not tied to my chair anymore. I can get out and do things."
Yeah.
And she had about 15 minutes trying the handbike. And then I didn't see her again for about 8 months. And when I saw her, I just said, "You look so different. You look amazing. And I didn't recognise you."
Mm.
And what she said to me was that before she became paralysed, she did used to enjoy cycling. And the 15 minutes, she came to us on that day in quite a dark place, physically and mentally.
Yeah, yeah.
And that 15 minutes rekindled her passion for cycling. And she's now the island's first paratriathlete.
Ah, superb.
So what an amazing story.
Well,
that
you don't
is.
Get much more successful than that, do you?
No.
Really?
That's brilliant. I mean, that's just amazing.
Yeah.
So
well done,
the
you.
Impact that the bikes have is fantastic.
Yeah.
Not everyone's going to become a paratriathlete.
No, that's true.
Everybody, that uses the bikes has gained different skills.
Yeah.
A lot of skills.
Well, it's just that sense of freedom, I guess, isn't it? If you're tied to a wheelchair day in and day out, it just gives you that sense of, I can go where I like, do what I like, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps not that far, but you know what I mean.
But people, they're gaining skills in confidence, in balance, in socialising, and there's a whole range of different.
So, who can come to them? Who's sort of
anybody.
Eligible?
Anybody.
Like. Mm.
And we encourage families to come, so they cycle together. Mm. If they want to bring their own bike, so they can cycle alongside, they're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
We've got some tandem bikes, so we've got a side-by-side hand bike, so somebody can cycle with using the handles, and somebody else just sit there on the other seat if they don't want to cycle.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a front rear tandem as well at the end of the month. So that's another.
So how difficult would you say is the kind of the whole issue of accessibility on the island then?
We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're getting there. Things have improved certainly in the 3 years that we've been working.
Mm.
And people now are thinking about accessibility. A lot more people are actually sort of thinking about it, asking us questions. And, we're celebrating everybody that's, every business that makes an effort.
Yeah, yeah. Because often it's simple things, isn't it? I mean, we were having a chat during the break, and I told her about my period of sciatica, and it's just when it's difficult to walk, it's just somewhere to sit for a couple of minutes.
Exactly. There's some very cheap options that people, can choose to make.
Yeah.
We're not expecting people to spend, a fortune on making things accessible, but there is, you can put in extra chairs. Even a restaurant having a large print menu that helps people with poor eyesight, poor vision, and there's lots of different things that we can recommend that people can do that doesn't cost very much at all.
Yeah,
and it just shows willing.
Okay, well, we're going to go into a break. Maybe you can give us a few ideas about what those things are.
Yeah,
after
okay.
The break. Cheers. Welcome back, and it was. I don't know if that's L King or Ellie King. I don't know how you pronounce that. We'll call it Ellie because I don't like L. Ellie King with shame. Okay, I'm here with Jan Brooks from R Care. Oh, I'm not R Care. R Access. I do beg your pardon.
That's okay.
Just slipped into that then. What can local businesses do to make things a bit easier for people with issues, with problems?
Okay, well, there's first of all, they could look at producing what they call an accessibility guide, and that's it's writing out what the environment is like, what their business is like for people with different disabilities. And although that sounds quite a bit complex, Visit Britain actually have some templates, so people can just go onto the website, look for accessibility guides Visit Britain, and find the template, and it will prompt them to what to put in there.
Yeah.
And that gives people an idea, because people are always looking for places to go, and if they can't find out what is, if a place is accessible, they'll presume that it's not.
Oh,
if there's nothing,
good point, yeah.
If they business is not telling people, yes, we've got wider doorways, we've got a disabled toilet, we've got large print menus, and explain exactly what they do have, then people will go elsewhere.
Yeah.
So completing an accessibility guide is really good. And on our website, we're listing now places to stay, places to eat, and places to visit. And the way that we're listing them is using their accessibility guide. So if they haven't got an accessibility guide, we won't be able to list them. And that's because everybody is different. You can meet two people that use a wheelchair, and what they require is totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we're doing is just listing the accessibility guides, and then that allows the person to look at it and make their own mind up. Yes, that I can cope with that. That business will, I'll visit a business. It meets. I'll be able to use it. Whereas others may look at it and say, "There's just no way I can get in there."
But it makes good business sense, doesn't it? Really?
It does. Tell people, shout about it.
Yeah,
what you do have, and attract more people to you.
Yeah, sure.
So the accessibility guide is one thing. Another thing is training the employees in disability equality, and we are going to be doing two rounds of training, so two separate training days in November that's being sponsored by Visit Isle of Wight. So we'll be training people in disability equality, and they can then decide, sort of look at their business and see what changes could be made, and say only small changes are needed, that's going to make life a lot easier for people.
Sure. Yeah.
So there's two things. And then just generally, I'd say we've talked about having large print menus for people. there's a lot of people, myself included, and a lot of my friends who now are very careful about where we choose to meet for coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Because coffee shops, that is to have sort of floor furnishing, yeah, chairs, no soft furnishings to absorb. Then you've got a noisy barista-type coffee machine hissing away, yeah, and people banging, and, you know, sort of the dregs of the coffee out. You've got radio, you've got music constantly.
Yeah. And so have you got any kind of hearing issues at all? What makes it really difficult?
Yeah, and there's myself and some, we were having a conversation this morning, some of us, about place, you know, that if it's noisy, we just don't go.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's been research by Action on Hearing Loss, which proves that people won't go out to a lot of places because they're too noisy.
Just avoid them. Just avoid situations like that. Yeah.
And there's simple things that can be done, like rubber ferrules on the bottom of chairs, on the legs,
to stop that scraping noise.
And just turning the music off, you know, in one area. So if you've got, say, four speakers around the room, turn one corner off, make it a quieter area for people.
Sure.
And
I often think, to be frank, that the music's on for the baristas rather than for the customers, frankly. They want someone to listen to while they're banging away in their kitchen.
Well, I remember when I was much younger, going to weddings, and there'd be the old people there at the back saying, "I'm just going to turn that music down." And I'm now one of those grumpy old women.
I know what you mean.
And so that's the whole issue around hearing loss and people actually being socially isolated because they can't go out places.
The problem is, if you don't experience these things yourself, if you're a business, you it doesn't kind of enter your head, does it, really?
No, and that's it. People aren't deliberately, they're not usually deliberately making life difficult for people.
No, I'm sure that's right.
It's just the fact they don't realise.
Yeah.
And once we start telling people, they never thought about that. And then...
That's my most often used expression this afternoon, never thought about that.
And then when we start getting emails further along the line and them telling us, well, we've thought about doing this, what do you think? And, you know, it's great. Once people start getting aware of problems, then it's great because
you're looking for some volunteers, aren't you?
Yes, we're looking for more volunteers to help with our cycling project. We're actually now the Isle of Wight Wheels for All Centre, and Wheels for All is a national charity. There's 60 centres, over 60 centres throughout the UK. And so now we've become affiliated to them. And they are coming down on the 27th of September to provide us with a whole day's training again. Everybody has to go through this one day's training, so that we know everybody's trained to the same standard and understand things. So if any keen cyclists out there want to give some of their time back to coming to help us run sessions in the future and would like to come and do this training, then please get in touch with us.
How can folk get in touch?
Okay, my email address is info@isleaccess.co.uk. We're on Facebook as Isle Access and Twitter, so people can use any
website.
Of those.
Yeah.
Website is just being we're just redoing the website,
So
that will be within the next couple of weeks. That will be up online, but we are Isle Access as a website. Yeah,
we are rapidly coming out of time, but I know you wanted to put a shout out for a van. Anybody got a van they don't want?
Yeah, in order, we're going to be storing our bikes very kindly. West Wight Sports Centre and Freshwater Council allowing us to put a storage container on the recreation ground where our bikes are going to be stored. But we need a van to be able to transport them around the island.
Mm.
It's only a second-hand van, but it has to. Yeah, it's something like a long wheel-based van that. If anybody's got one that works that they don't want or they'd like to donate, please get in touch with us. We'd be delighted to
Fantastic.
Hear from you.
Fantastic. Somebody out there, do it. Just do it. It's such a good cause. Jan, we're out of time, I'm afraid. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me.
Lovely to talk to you.
And you.